This episode of Enough is brought to you by Squarespace, everything you need to create an amazing website. We're huge fans of Squarespace over at 70 Decibels, and I want to take this opportunity to tell you about a fantastic new offer from them. When you sign up for any annual plan, which gives you extremely reliable web hosting and powerful website creation tools, Squarespace will now give you a custom domain absolutely free. You choose the domain you want, which could include .com, .net, .org, or even more, and it remains yours. You don't need to jump through any hoops of changing A records or C names. Squarespace will take care of all this for you, right out of the box. Oh, and what about email? Well, they're bundling Google Apps integration too. This fantastic new offer even further rounds out Squarespace, making it the perfect place to start your new website or blog. Squarespace's plans start from as little as $8 a month, and you can find out more by going to squarespace.com/70decibels to start your 2-week free trial. And if you use the offer code 70decibels5 at checkout, you get 10% off your first purchase. You can find out all the information you need in the show notes.
Hello, Michael.
Howdy, Patrick.
How are you?
I'm dandy. How are you?
Okay. You sound actually rather subdued.
Do I? Oh, I'm very sorry.
Subdued. well, no, you don't have to apologize for anything. I would imagine you're probably, like, getting prepared for your big trip.
Yep.
Across the big pond.
When this episode's released, I'm already back on the plane.
So where are you currently?
I'm probably, at this time, in Canada.
So, why are you going to... Why Canada? I thought you were going to Memphis. What's this Canada stuff?
That's where my layover is.
Oh, really? Through Canada? Mm-hmm.
Through Canada.
British Airways is flying you through Canada?
No, I'm going by Air Canada.
Oh, you're going via Air Canada. Oh,
I love Canada.
That explains a lot. Oh, Canada.
I've been there when we went to Vegas. We went through Canada too. I don't know why I have to keep going through Canada to come into the US.
I don't get that either, but okay, whatevs.
This just seems like a popular destination, you know, for a layover flight.
Yeah,
because we would have gone direct and paid a little extra to go direct, but you actually cannot go direct to Memphis from anywhere in Europe.
That doesn't surprise me.
Which I was very surprised about.
No, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Because Hackett said you used to be able to go via Amsterdam, which would have been a great stop.
Oh, yeah. Good old Schiphol.
Exactly.
Good old Schiphol. One of my favorite experiences through Schiphol.
That's the name of the airport, by the way.
Yes, familiar. through customs. First of all, interesting point of note. Little babies have to have passports too,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't make any sense whatsoever, right? Because the passports are like good for like, I don't know. I think kids' passports are good for 5 years. There's no way. And so you take the baby photo, you know, for the passport. There's no way that even a 3-year-old kid is going to look like that baby photo. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it makes no logical sense whatsoever. But in any case, so we're going through Schiphol and going through customs, and you know we get up there and hand the customs officer our passports, and you know it's like you know good day, how are you? And he's fine, and he's looking over, and you know he's you know takes mine, opens it up, and looks at it, and looks at me, and you know does the stamp thing, and then he opens up Bethany's, and you know looks at hers, and he's like, okay, you know, and then he opens up Beatrix's, you know, we have her down in a stroller, and the customs booths are actually up kind of higher, so he kind of had to stand up, and he says, you know, is that Beatrix? And you know, we said, yep, that's Beatrix. And he looks down, and we said, just like your queen. He's like, yes, indeed, just like our queen. And he gives her passport a hearty stamp, you know. I think he was just absolutely, you know, just delighted that, you know, these stupid Americans actually know a little bit about the politics of his country. But I digress. You know, I really should have been European.
It would have been nice for us.
Yeah. Well, it would have been, you know, nice for me, too. As I'm in my heart, I'm European. I mean, like I said, I probably know more about Europe and the UK than, or as much as I do about the United States. but where we used to fly through, because I used to come to, well, two places very often over there. Brussels, Belgium, which I love. I love, love, love Brussels. And Bournemouth in the UK. Nice little seaside town. Pleasant little place, that Bournemouth. About, what, an hour from London? Hour and a half.
Something like that.
Yeah. But I used to fly Iceland Air all the time for that and come through Reykjavik.
Reykjavik.
Which is always great, right? Because, I mean, yeah, because it's rinky-dink, right? It's just, you know, they've got, like, you know, something like four gates or something like that. And so, you know, you literally get off the plane at one gate, and the gate you have to be at is literally 20 feet across the hall. You know, there's no concourse or anything like that.
Even your smallest airports are massive compared to a lot of European airports. Yeah, in the US, you have huge airports.
Yeah, this is true. Well, I mean, so many of our airports these days are shopping malls more than our airports.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I do, yeah. 100%.
I mean, yeah, there's... I mean, there's a large deal of... or a large trend, I should say, in that idea of having a shopping mall-like experience with, like, restaurants and name-brand stores. I mean, I'm thinking about here in the Twin Cities, there's, like, an Ann Taylor and, these stores that you would typically Polo, you know, Izod, Lacoste,
I think it's Hugo pretty Boss. Important. I think it's pretty important in a way, though, because, I mean, like, I have to be in the airport 3 hours before my flight.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty long time, you know. I want some stuff to do. And plus, as well, I mean, airport shopping is really good in the UK because there's no tax on anything, you see.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing for
That is
for
a
us.
Big thing. We don't get that luxury here. You know, it's you still pay taxes. That stuff is not duty free, but all the same, I like a good airport. Schiphol's actually a pretty good airport. Their only problem is that they really are like a shopping mall.
Yeah, and they're expanding. When me and Sammy were in Amsterdam, they were expanding the airport. They're adding in another runway and another terminal, I believe, and they're
Holy
making
cow.
It even larger, and they're going to start flying to even more destinations. They're making it a really, really major, major worldwide airport now.
I always assumed it was. I always thought of it as...
Yeah, because it does a lot of international flights. Like, it flies a lot to the US, but my understanding from talking to our taxi driver was that they're really trying to make it even more so than it already is.
The way I always... thought about it was this, and that is that Heathrow is like the JFK of Europe, and Schiphol was always like the Chicago O'Hare.
Right.
Chicago O'Hare is super busy because it's almost literally dead center in the middle of the country, and so it's always been a very easy layover waypoint between destinations, you know, flying New York to Los Angeles via O'Hare, you know, I mean, because it's right there in the middle of the country. And so, and Schiphol is kind of the same way. right, is kind of right there in the middle of Europe. And so it makes it an easy destination. The only thing I always hated about Schiphol, as someone who flew internationally often, and oftentimes with only about 30 to 45 minutes between flights. And while that may seem like a long time, it ain't at Schiphol. Especially because all the international flights come in on one end of the airport, and all of the, you know, all the small regional airlines, at least this was like 10 years ago, so things may have changed, but at the time, all the things like EasyJet and Sabena and, Vueling and, you know, those kind of, small regional jet liners, were on the other side of the airport. So that meant that you had 45 minutes to get all the way from one side to the other and go through customs in the middle. Right? And it's a serious trek. It is a trek.
Definitely.
It's a pain in the butt. And not only that, of course, but they put as many duty-free shops in between as possible. It's almost impossible to go through Schiphol without dropping some money. you'll be like running to the plane to go, oh, what? That for like 10 euro? Are you kidding me? Oh, I gotta stop. they're, you know, $30 iPods and stuff. I'm not joking. I'm joking.
Well, shuffles.
Yeah. But I love to fly and I love to travel. And I mean, Bethany and I were just last night fantasizing about just blowing through every ounce of resources we have and, you know, and just spending, you know, the rest of Beatrix's life, you know, or, you know, until she's old enough to go to college, just giving her a travel education, just traveling all over the world.
It's very nice of you.
Wouldn't that be cool, though?
Do you want to do that for me?
Like, there's no way we could do it, but oh, gosh. How awesome would that be to spend a life just traveling and just learning all over the world?
Maybe if you sold one of your houses, you'd be able to pay for it for her.
Yeah, well. Well, I mean, that's why I was running here, was because I was actually, I stopped at other house number one and other house number two to take care of a few small projects and just to follow up on progress on ongoing ones. We've got plumbing going into a recently purchased house. That would be other house number two. Had a very long discussion last night, which actually led to the whole, let's just sell it all and fly all over the country, which should tell you a little bit about how that discussion went. We're going to spend a lot more time this summer over at other house number one. Kind of getting, it's a weird situation with that house, because it's the house that Bethany grew up in and that she inherited from her mom. And so there's kind of a lot of
memories.
Yeah, that, but also neither one of us have a sense of ownership about it.
Interesting.
But come into that not having a sense of ownership from two entirely different planes, right? My plane being, I really don't have an attachment to that house, because other than our owning it and, you know, spending time over there occasionally once in a while, it's never really felt like, quote unquote, my house, you know, because that's her, the house she grew up in and her mom and her family and that sort of thing, right? But then again, it's really never felt like hers, but still, it is full of memories and full of, I don't know, difficult emotional stuff to process because, I mean, her mom passed away at a relatively early age mm-hmm. and much, much younger than she should have. And you know, it's really, it's still very, very hard on Bethany. She still is very, you know, it's very hard. I mean, to lose a parent, especially, you know, especially earlier than you expect, and especially, you know, with so much that has happened since, you know, she never lived to see a granddaughter, for instance, and she would have loved Beatrix, right? And so it's things like that that, you know, just flood Bethany with memories every time we walk into the house, and so to a certain extent, we really have to go over there and spend some time kind of taking ownership of the house and making some decisions about, okay, we're going to start to paint and make this room colors, you know, something that we chose, and, you know, we're going to redo the floor and we're going to redo this, and, you know, we're basically starting to make
it. Put your stamp on it.
Put our stamp on it, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so part of the reason that I was over there was to kind of take inventory of, okay, here's what I'm thinking sort of thing, because Bethany had a chance to go over there yesterday and kind of, you know, come up with some ideas about things that we can do and projects we can start, and I wanted to kind of get my, you know, get my bearing on those. So, so that's our plan. So yeah, just to, you know, you're coming over here to Memphis,
yep,
mainly, right? Yeah, because Memphis is the hot destination of America. I mean, everyone thinks like New York or San Francisco or L.A. or, but no, Memphis is where it's at. So
all about Memphis.
It's all about Memphis. And so you're coming to spend some time with Mr. Hackett, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So did I see there's some sort of, like, you know, like meetup eventies thing sort of plan? I mean, do our listeners in Memphis need to know about this? I could be wrong.
There is one.
Okay.
But it would have already happened.
Oh, that's tough.
So thanks for coming. Forgetting.
Yeah, thanks for coming. It was really great. Sorry we didn't tell you about it earlier if you missed it. Oh, sorry. Gosh, yeah, I keep forgetting.
I apologize to this show's listeners, because you're going to be hearing my stories, like, in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, yeah. All
right. We'll make it relevant somehow.
All right. Well, okay, so things you got to do. I'm going to tell you what you have to do, okay?
Okay.
First of all, you're going to have Graceland on your list.
It is on the list.
Yes, of course it is. Right. First of all, you are aware that Graceland is like in the middle of the hood now, right?
Yeah. I got the inclination from that somewhere. I can't remember where that was.
I believe we had a whole episode entitled Graceland in the Hood.
Of course, when
Mr. Hackett was on. Secondly, so Graceland is fine, but don't, you know, it's interesting, but I wouldn't put too much thought into it. The one that you really don't want to miss, Sun Studio.
Yep, I knew that. That's
the Sun Studio tour. Have to do the Sun Studio tour.
Because I was watching a TV show about Memphis a couple of days ago, and they showed Sun Studios, and I'm more interested to go to Sun Studios than I am to go to Graceland. But it's one of those things that I think there, especially my mother, would disown me, like would not let me back in the house if I went to Memphis and didn't go to Graceland.
Yeah, yeah. And back in the day, I've had a girlfriend who was an Elvis fan, and so for her birthday 1 year, I drove her down. We drove down to Memphis, and I took her to Graceland, and we went on the Sun Studios tour, and both of us, even she was a big Elvis fan and certainly enjoyed Graceland, both of us came away from the Sun Studios tour saying that was way more cool. Just simply because of the history that is, that has happened there. I mean, everyone from Elvis, of course, Jerry.
It's not just Elvis, is it?
No, cool, it's Jerry Lee Lewis, it's B.B. King, it's U2, for God's sakes. U2 recorded, two songs, from, the Joshua Tree / Rattle and Hum, days at Sun Studios. I mean, it's had a very long and storied history. Other things, the Peabody Hotel, for the marching of the ducks.
Okay. Oh, you've spoken to me. We've even spoken about this, so I've heard you talk about this.
Yes. The Peabody Hotel has a tradition that goes back something like 100 years, where they have these ducks, and these ducks live on the roof. And every morning at, I want to say 8 a.m., but I could, check the times. I don't know exactly, because I've never actually seen the marching. It's this long tradition of these ducks come down in their own little special elevator, led by the duck master. And the duck master walks these ducks to the fountain in the middle of the Peabody. And the ducks spend all day in the fountain. And then at 5 o'clock or whatever the end time is, they march back to the elevator and go back up home to their rooftop little lair.
Lair. The duck cave.
No. So I can't remember whether we talked about this on an episode or not. I've actually... when Bethany and I went down to New Orleans, we stopped in Memphis specifically to see the ducks. Now, we got there about lunchtime, so we didn't get to see them marched. But we, they were in the fountain playing around, and Beatrix had a, wonderful time seeing these ducks. And I went off to the bathroom, came back 5 minutes later, and the duck master is sitting there giving a personal, talking to Bethany and answering questions and talking to Beatrix. And he gave them little duck pens and everything else. And, they're just thrilled. And I came back and, we continued to talk about the history of the hotel and things like that. And then, so he said, I don't know how much time you guys have, but if you want, would you like to go up and see the duck house and see where they live up on the roof and things like that? And we were like, you're joking, right? He's like, no, as long as you have the time. And okay. Because it was actually, Bethany read a book about the Peabody ducks when she was a kid. It wasn't read a book. I'm sorry. She got a postcard about the ducks when she was a kid, and she's wanted to see them ever since. And so this was almost kind of fulfilling a little bit of a dream for her. And to have the duck master himself say, let me give you a personal tour of the roof, I was just like, oh my gosh, right? And he took us up in the elevator, in the ducks elevator, up to the roof. To their beautiful rooftop patio, which he said, this is only open for events at the owner's discretion. No one really ever comes up here. We don't rent it out for weddings or anything like that, but the owners do occasionally hold parties and fundraising gatherings and stuff like that up here. But the ducks have this beautiful marble lined replica of the lobby. In miniature.
Oh, my God.
With a replica of the lobby fountain in miniature.
So they're used to it.
Right.
That's incredible.
And the little house that they go up into and go to sleep is actually a miniaturized replica of the hotel. And he explained that every duck that the owners of the hotel is a family owned and run hotel. The current family bought it back, you know, I want to say in the late 80s or something like that for just the back taxes owed on it, and have since poured $50 million into its restoration and still are still going. They have a farm for the ducks, and the ducks work for 2 years. Every duck works for 2 years and then goes to live out the rest of their life on the duck farm. Where they
in the hotel?
Well, no, you know, where they
they work in the hotel and then they go work to in the hotel. The farm.
Yeah, so they work in the hotel for 2 years. 2 years is a maximum, and you know, when a duck has served its 2 years, it gets to go off to live out the rest of his life, however it pleases on the farm.
It's a pretty sweet life.
Yeah. Well, and I think just a really wonderfully compassionate and humane way to do it, right? That this is not about, you know, we're just going to have these ducks and work them till they die. It really is. We care about these ducks. We care about them so much that we're willing to spend as much on them as we would on any guest and put them up in accommodations that probably cost as much as years in my house. It's insane the accommodations those ducks get to stay in.
Yeah.
So there you go. Peabody Hotel in Memphis. If you're ever in Memphis, stop in, visit. If you happen to hang around for too long with a kid, it's all the killer possible that Anthony, the duck master, will come up and invite you up for a personal tour.
You can't guarantee that.
I cannot guarantee that, but so here's the thing about that, the takeaway about that that I learned. And that is, you know, here we were, these travelers, you know, scrubby from, you know, being on the road for 6 hours, wandering in off the street, you know, hanging out by the duck fountain. He didn't know us from Adam. But he treated us like we were the best guests they had.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did by doing that is he ensured that should we ever go to Memphis again and stay, we will not stay anywhere else, no matter the cost, because of just the way that we were treated in the 45 minutes that he spent with us. Nobody's. People off the street that weren't even guests at the hotel. You know, and that, you know, says a lot about service and about business and that sort of thing. There's a clothing store in the lobby of the hotel. I want to say Langham's. I could have that name wrong. But as we were leaving, I noticed this. They have this story kind of painted onto the window of the clothing store. And something like the Jim Langham, was working in the store one day, you know, the owner of the hotel, or of the clothing store was working in the, was working one day, and this young man walks in and takes a look around at the clothes and really falls in love with them and, you know, says, let me talk to the owner. And, you know, so he walks up and the young man says, you know, sir, I'm going to be famous one day. And when I am, I'm going to buy this store. I'm going to buy you out. And Mr. Langham, said to the kid, son, I believe you. I have all the faith in the world in you, but I'll tell you what. I don't want you to buy me out. I love what I do. This is my job. I just want you to keep buying from me. And it ends with, and that's how Elvis Presley became a lifelong customer. Right? And, you know, and even that was like an exclamation point on the lesson that this is a group of people from the top down, from the family that owns the place all the way down to the Duckmaster, that love the land, right? They're passionate about what they do. And they love it so much that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're some bum off the street or Elvis Presley himself. They're going to treat you as if you are the greatest guest they've ever had. Because they know that by doing so, the return is so much greater.
There you go.
So those are my tips for Memphis. Oh, and barbecue. Get as much barbecue as you can.
Yeah, I keep hearing.
Memphis is well known for their style of Memphis barbecue. So, there's a nice little place down on Beale Street. It's a little touristy, but I like it. I can't remember the name of it. I want to say Beale Street Barbecue, but I could be wrong. You'll know it because it's got kind of hospital green floors and torn up red booths. But insanely good barbecue.
I trust in Hackett to take us to the good places.
Oh yeah, he'll take you around. He'll take you to the good places. So, all right. Well, with that, we should chat later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers, mate.